On Saturday, January 21st, 2017, 500,000 women and their allies came to Washington, D.C. in reaction to the inauguration of President Donald Trump, which had happened the day before. The stated platform of the march encapsulated many issues, including reproductive rights, an end to police brutality, immigrant rights, and environmental justice. With such a broad platform, every person who came to the march came with a different background and a different goal. I was one of those 600,000 people that came to the Capitol that day. I came to Washington from Williamstown, Massachusetts, a town that is only known about because it's the home of Williams College. The bus I came on was entirely full of middle-aged white women, the kind who I grew up with as my friends' parents, nice, overeducated, very liberal women. There was a lot of conversation around the march about intersectionality and about making it open for women of all races and ethnicities, but this bus was not a model of it. This was not much of a surprise, though, considering that Williamstown is 91% white, and that's including the college. Any bus traveling from Western Massachusetts was probably not going to be the model of diversity. We get into the bus at 11 p.m., arrive at the metro at 6 o'clock in the morning. The metro is, of course, flooded with people, people in those pink pussy hats, people with signs, people with cameras. Where are you guys from?
Baltimore.
Iowa.
Massachusetts.
We're from Connecticut.
Which part of Connecticut?
Simsbury. It's in central, a little north of Hartford.
Okay. I go to school at Wesleyan. So
oh, okay. Kind of area. Nice, okay. Nice.
And yeah. What brought you guys here?
Yeah. Oh, gosh. I'd say the biggest thing is my daughters.
I have two little boys at home, and I don't want them to think that they can treat women the way that this administration is shaping up to treat women. So I'm here to show my boys.
Yeah, and what do you think is the ultimate goal of the march for you?
Well, for me, I just want, I guess, the rest of the world to know that this isn't what I stand for, and this isn't really what America stands for.
I think the presence is the main goal. I mean,
I think this is just going to make a huge statement.
What are your main concerns about kind of the future?
I know you care about Black Lives Matter.
I don't know, I just feel like we're going to regress.
Banning abortion,
defunding
Planned Parenthood, defunding the arts, putting in jeopardy the legalization of gay marriage.
One thing. I can't even think of just one thing.
There's not one specific policy, it's the fact that I think our democracy at its core is really at stake.
Oh, and climate change.
Yep.
This is, as somebody said, there's a sign that says, what the heck?
Yeah.
And that's probably, I feel like those three words.
Welcome here, no hate, no fear. Refugees are welcome here, no hate, no fear. Refugees are welcome here, no hate, no fear. Refugees are welcome here, no hate, no fear.
What made you like want to go to the march?
I think there were like several reasons, but my main thing was that I was like very devastated by the election results as someone who is obviously very liberal.
This is me talking to my friend Kate Parks. I interviewed several of my friends after the fact to find out what they had thought of the march and how it had gone. Kate actually went to the Boston chapter of the Women's March, but my friend Noah went all the way to the Washington, D.C. one from Minnesota.
I was on the wait list, and a spot had just opened up, and I thought I'd be too busy anyway. But once, like, the spot opened up, I started thinking about it, and I realized that this election has made me feel political in a way I never thought I would like be. I never thought of myself as that political a person, but like I never thought my actual personal values would be seriously threatened. I was like, we're down the right path, isn't it? We can't really turn around that much. But I've had the sense of the election that like I actually have to like care about something. Like if I care about something, like the world isn't so much on my side of things that I can just let it be, almost. I feel like I've been spurred to be like a little more political, so there was that, working for it.
And are there specific
policies that you are the most kind of invested in of this new administration?
I think for me, the ones that I admit, it's cis white male, straight white male, who will be affected minimally by this administration.
This is my friend Jake. We met at Wesleyan, and this recording's actually taken a lot later than some of the other ones, about a week into the Trump presidency.
And yet I have a lot of friends who, although they might be affected minimally because of their economic standpoint, are minorities who are from... I have friends who have like Muslim parents who are literally at this point are afraid to leave the country.
Why'd you come to this protest today?
I was hoping that it would be a sort of major turning point. I couldn't not come.
What are, like, the things that most worry you about the upcoming administration?
I think there are several things. I think that one of the biggest concerns I have is just the hatred and bigotry that this campaign was based on and how it's definitely given the okay for people to be unaccepting. I'm very concerned about, people of color in this country and people who are Muslim in this country, but it's also just, I really feel that Donald Trump is not really fit to run the country, and I worry that, you know, beyond just his morals, which I think are unpleasant, and I'm really not in support of him. I also believe that he's just too volatile.
The fact that he's undermining all the systems that are supposed to keep him in check and acting, like, just so dictatory, that's what motivates me most. Like, the fact that the more we let him get away with things, the less accountable he becomes. And that, I think, is the biggest risk more than anything. Because even if he was, like my ideological opposite, he had, like, the worst policies imaginable. I mean, he sort of is. But, like, even if it was just that, like I'd feel okay as long as we had systems in check. I'd be like, all right, well, you know what? He'll go push some policies through these 4 years, then we'll elect a new president, and that president will push through policies that will reverse those.
And what do you feel like was your goal going into the march? What did you want to accomplish?
Personally, I had greedy motives, I feel like. I wanted to be like this, I'm fighting, I'm a good guy, I'm fighting for the right side. I mean, I thought the more people who go, get the numbers up. One person isn't going to do anything, but if you get a ton of people, you make a difference. And so the more people went, the more numbers, the louder the voice.
And what was your experience at the march like?
The march was fantastic. I was reading, so I was at like some more like anarchy, like protests like the night before, and then I was at the march the next day, and I felt like I experienced both radical ends of the activism spectrum. The night before was like very anarchist and anti-establishment motivated, and like there were like 230 arrests that night, and there was like tear gas and stuff. And the next day there was like a bazillion more people, and there were zero arrests made and stuff like that. And it was very directed experience. So I feel like it was like really welcoming, really peaceful.
It's not direct action, right? Like this isn't actually direct action. This doesn't actually do anything other than like, it's propaganda and saying like a lot of people agree with us, but propaganda only works if like propaganda only like influences people in power if they're interested in listening to you in the first place, and people aren't interested in listening to us in the first place, and that's the problem. Like we can't have clever signs and march in a designated area and have it actually make any sort of effect in terms of policy or in terms of actually ousting this man.
I mean, Donald Trump is still there. Like I didn't really expect that he would not be. But it is hard because, you know, not a lot has changed just yet. But at the same time, it did give me a real sense of hope that there are so many of us. And it showed me that I'm not alone. And there were millions of people who, like, all around the globe who are on my side. And I think that's really powerful. And I think we did show them that we know how to organize and we know how to organize peacefully and that we're going to stay.
my thoughts on, I kind of feel like something that needs, I'm sure lots of people will say this, and lots of people have said it, but a thought that everyone kind of thought after the election was like their safety thing was Donald Trump. He got elected through awful hate speech rhetoric, but he's not really going to do these things, and he's not really going to be that awful, because how could he be? And he was also a secret liberal, and all these things that people told themselves. And then this first week happened, and it's pretty apparent that we're wrong, and it's much more frightening now. And because it's actually happening, and he's actually doing things that, you know, like a normal human being, no matter how conservative, wouldn't do. Not only is it not normal, but we actually, like, it's a legit thing. Like, if it doesn't affect you in your daily life, like me, when I hear all these stories about detainees and JFK and other airports and refugees, does it affect me on a daily? No, but then again, I'm not walking in their shoes, and it's not something that should be happening, and I stop to think about it.
Thank you so much to all the people who contributed to this episode, to Kate Parks, Noah Savage, Jacob Brodsky, and one contributor who asked to remain anonymous. Thank you to those people who I talked to at the march as well, although I don't really have all of your names. Thank you to Evelyn Swift-Shooker for the recording equipment. The speech you heard a part of was by Linda Sarsour, a prominent civil rights activist who spoke at the Women's March. Thanks to all of you for listening. See you in 2 weeks. It is cool that it's this many people, and it's this balancing act between how much ideological kind of purity and how much ideological, like, greater good do I want compared to how many people do I want to be involved in this?
Yeah.
And I can't decide how I feel, because there are some things that are definitely over the line, and I'm like, if you want to be part of the movement, but you think, like, X, Y, and Z, like, no.
Yeah.
But, like, what is that line? So I don't want to make that line everyone who agrees with exactly what I think, because I do feel like it should be broader than that.
All right, yeah. we should start walking, because I'm getting another
text. Oh, we're getting another text message being okay. Like, oh.
So well, that's still recording.
Oh, thank you.